Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Today is Tuesday, July 16th, 2024. We have four cases on our calendar today. This is the third of the four set for oral argument via Zoom. And this is being broadcast and streamed. It is also being recorded, and you will have access to the recording within a day or two. However, no other recordings are permitted. As we proceed, counsel for appellant, you will have 5 minutes for your oral arguments, followed by 15 minutes for respondent and 5 minutes by appellant on rebuttal, if you so choose. There is a timer, so make sure you watch your time. And if it sounds like neither one of you are waiting for anybody else, so we are a little ahead of schedule, but if you're okay, we can proceed. And counsel for appellant, you may begin. Please state your name for the record and the party you are representing.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Adam Justinger. I'm with SW&L Attorneys, and I represent the appellant in this matter, Mr. Luke Bruns. Today, we're asking this court to reverse the lower court's decision denying our motion to suppress evidence because law enforcement lacked a reasonable, articulable suspicion to stop and seize Mr. Bruns. On January 20th, 2023, Mr. Bruns was operating a vehicle known as a snow bear. A snow bear is a tracked machine that is steered with skis that are located on the front of the device. Officer Hines, in this case, was on routine patrol that day when he noticed the vehicle. He began to follow the vehicle and observed at two different stop signs that the vehicle did not display any brake lights. Ultimately, based on this observation, Officer Hines stopped the snow bear and identified the driver as Mr. Bruns. Now, the standard of review on a motion to suppress evidence, when this court is reviewing it, for factual findings, it's a clearly erroneous standard. For legal determinations, it's de novo. So the law requires that at the moment of the stop, there must be a reasonable, articulable suspicion based on specific objective facts that justify the stop. I would note that the Minnesota Supreme Court has recognized in State v. Smith, 814 Northwest 2D 346, that this is at the moment of the seizure. In this case, at the moment of the seizure, the stop by Officer Hines was based upon the non-working or non-present brake lights that were on the snow bear vehicle. But before we get into the legal facts and ultimately analysis, as far as the reasonable articulable suspicion is concerned, I would like to discuss the burden of proof. The district court in their order stated defendant provided no specific authority for the operation of the snow bear on a public street or the equipment likely necessary to make such operation legal. The snow bear had no registration, no license plate, and no operating brake lights. I would note that this court in Berkland v. Commissioner v. Public Safety, 940 Northwest 2D, 822 said the burden is on the state to show that the officer had a particularized and objective basis for suspecting the particular person stopped of criminal activity. So what we would put forth is that the district court erred first off by trying to shift the burden to the defense to show that this snow bear was in proper working condition.
But Mr. Justinger, wasn't the alternative basis that the snow bear did not actually stop at least two stop signs?
Your Honor, I think if we look at the evidence, it's more apparent that the reason for the stop was due to the brake lights. And the reason why I say that is because at the evidentiary hearing, Mr. Bruns testified unequivocally that he stopped at both of the stop signs. The state hasn't presented any evidence to the contrary.
But that's a credibility determination that the district court makes, whether or not it believes that he stopped at them. And so my concern here is that it seems that the officer believed that this individual did not stop at the stop signs, and that we also have case law that says that even if the facts relied upon by the officer are mistaken, they can still support the basis for the stop as long as it was objectively reasonable and consistent with the purpose of the officer's intrusion. And in this case, it seems that if the officer had a reasonable belief that this individual did not in fact stop at stop signs as required, that alone is sufficient to give rise to the reasonable articulable suspicion here.
And Your Honor, I think if we look at the testimony from the officer, he said that he noticed that at both stop signs, there were no brake lights that were omitted. So what he believed is that either the vehicle lacked brake lights or that it wasn't stopping. But when asked on cross-examination about this fact, he testified that it was dark that night. He was approximately a block away and he couldn't tell whether or not the vehicle actually stopped or didn't stop. So he was solely relying upon the lights to make that determination. I think that we can also look at the exhibits that were presented, specifically the body-worn camera of the officer.
But counsel, isn't that really then a question of fact rather than a question of law? If he thought that if he was if the officer was mistaken as to the vehicle not stopping because there were no brake lights indicating a stop, is it, we can we can affirm if it is a mistake of fact, correct?
Your Honor, yes, I believe the court could affirm if there's a mistake of fact, but I don't believe that there was a mistake of fact in this case. I believe that if we look at all of the evidence that was presented, the mistake was a mistake of law. The officer stopped the vehicle because he did not see brake lights. The reason why I think the reason why the brake lights weren't utilized, whether it was on the device or whether the vehicle was stopping, I think is. I think we have to look at just the brake lights because the officer testified that he didn't know if the vehicle did in fact stop or it didn't stop at the stop signs. And I
Yeah,
and
well,
again,
but Mr. Justin, though, wasn't that the standard here is so low for a reasonable suspicion? It's something more than a mere whim, caprice, or idle curiosity. One court said, this is at night. It's an unusual vehicle. The officer testified that at first he thought it was a trailer and he didn't see brake lights. I mean, wasn't it reasonable for him to infer at least that the vehicle had not come to a complete stop? I'm not sure I see this as a mistake of law, as opposed to a mistake of facts under these circumstances.
Your Honor, and again, I think that the mistake here by the officer was a mistake of law because he was relying solely upon the brake lights. And again, I think what we look at is if we look at his testimony that he gave, he said he didn't know if the vehicle stopped or did not stop. If we look a step further and look at the real-time encounter that he had with the occupants of the Snow Bear, this reaffirms that when he approached, he made no mention. I guess originally he said that the reason why he stopped the vehicle was because of the lack of brake lights. I think that the reason here, the mistake that he made was a mistake of law, thinking that a Snow Bear, a device like this, needed to have working brake lights when it didn't. I don't think there's any evidence that supports that he reasonably believed that the vehicle did not stop at the stop sign. I think the evidence shows to the contrary that the only reason that he stopped his vehicle was due to the lack of brake lights.
But it wasn't just one stop, it Which was
led it
actually
to
two
reasonable.
stops. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Judge Fleury.
Well, I mean, but it, to me, I don't think it stops at that point. The lack of the brake lights led him to reasonably believe that the vehicle had not come to a complete stop. Whether it was required by law to have brake lights or not, that's what he observed from behind at night in a, looking at a really unusual vehicle. I don't know. It seems hard to come to a conclusion that there was a mistake of law based on what he did under those facts.
Your Honor, and I guess again, what we would put forth is, I mean, whether this he originally when he came upon this vehicle, I would agree that he testified that he thought that I think it was a trailer is what he said. But as he got closer to the vehicle, he did know that the vehicle was tracked. It had skis on the front. I understand that maybe to some people that a Snow Bear would be considered a unique vehicle. I think in the state of Minnesota, Snow Bears are not necessarily that uncommon. Maybe if we were dealing with a case down in Florida where they don't have ice and people don't know what ice fishing even is, we'd have a little different factual circumstances. But I think Snow Bears are commonly used in the Midwest, specifically Minnesota, for ice fishing purposes. I don't think that just the fact that this is a maybe not a vehicle you'd see every single day or every single season justifies the law enforcement officer not knowing the applicable laws that are associated with this vehicle.
But clearly, it wasn't being used for ice fishing at the time. In fact, it couldn't have been because it was in town. So, and that's what he was observing from behind. So, I mean, yeah, we've all seen, I mean, I've seen snow bears on Lake of the Woods hauling people out to go ice fishing. But I don't know, I've lived in Minnesota my whole life and I've never seen one driving on a public street.
Your Honor, and I think if we look at the location of the stop, I believe where the location was, it was near a lake. So it was I believe they were actually pulling into the residence that they were residing at, which was on the lake. So, I understand that if somebody's coming from, an hour out of town, they would likely trailer the snow bear. They would bring it to the access and they would, unload the snow bear and then proceed to go out on the ice. But I think people that live or reside on the lake may be in a different situation than somebody that's traveling from out of town. But as far as what
Counsel, if I could ask a question, it seems that you're relying on the testimony regarding the first stop, when he's talking about it did not stop because there was no brake light illumination or there was just no brake light illumination. But there was also a second stop sign that the officer saw appellant drive through. And there he said, quote, there was another stop sign that it went through. So it sounds like the officer is indicating that there was no stop at all. And it says there's another stop sign that it went through and appeared to slow, but I didn't see any indication of brake lights. So it wasn't just one incident, it was actually two incidents that the officer observed. And so, given the low bar, as Judge Fleury had mentioned, why isn't that enough? It wasn't just one incident, but it was actually two incidents of not seeing the vehicle stop at, slow down, but not stop for a stop sign.
Well, Your Honor, and I think the quote that you're referring to comes from the officer's police report. And what I would put forward is that the testimony that was under oath that was given by the officer is the more credible testimony that we would have to look at. He testified that based on the time of night, he couldn't see whether or not the vehicle did come to a stop or did not come to a stop at either of the stop signs. When asked on cross-examination what he was relying upon as far as the stop was concerned, he cited the statute 160, or I actually approached him with the statute for failure to have brake lights, which is 169.57, and he said that was the statute that he was relying upon for the stop. And that statute doesn't deal with stopping at stop signs. It deals with not having brake lights. So I think if we're looking at the testimony that he gave, it's clear from the evidence that he was relying on the fact that this vehicle did not have brake lights. But under Minnesota law, it didn't have to have brake lights. And that's where what type of vehicle this is comes into play. If we look at Chapter 84, which deals with snowmobiles, it talks about the definition of a snowmobile. And this.
Right. We're certainly familiar with that, but I mean, wouldn't your case be stronger if he only stopped the person for not having brake lights? If that was the case, you would prevail, correct?
Your Honor, I believe that we would, and I think that's exactly what we have again in before this court. And what I would again point to is the officer's own words that are on the body camera that was offered in as an exhibit. In the officer's first body camera, starting at around the 16-minute mark, he tells the passengers, "If it wouldn't have been for the no brake lights, I wouldn't have stopped you." I mean, so we have evidence that's presented in the record that shows that the sole reason for the stop was because of the lack of brake lights.
Right, but we have to look at it in context. The no brake lights indicated to the officer that there was no stop that occurred twice, and that was part of the charge of not failing to stop.
Well, and Your Honor, I think this is where the type of vehicle matters when we're addressing something like this. If this was an automobile, I think that this would have a lot stronger chance because with an automobile, if you let off the brake, that car will creep forward. It's going to continuously move unless the brake is applied. When we're dealing with something like a snow bear or a snowmobile or a four-wheeler or a UTV, they don't have that same mechanism. If you let off the gas, the vehicle no longer propels forward. If you let off the brake, the vehicle does not go forward. It requires you to press the gas to go forward. It requires you to press the brake to stop. So that vehicle can come to a stop on its very own without applying the brake or without or just by letting off the gas. And again, I think that testimony was clear. The officer stated that he wasn't necessarily familiar with I guess machines, whether it's a snow bear, whether it's a snowmobile, and how they work. But that testimony did come out from Mr. Bruns that that is how this snow bear operated. So again, I think if we look at the type of vehicle, it shows that this vehicle is absolutely capable of stopping at a stop sign without applying the brakes. And I think if when we're looking at this, the district court did, I guess as far as the violation is concerned, they didn't even really get to a decision whether or not a violation had occurred. They stated in their order, even though it's inconclusive whether an actual equipment violation occurred. So they didn't come to that conclusion. They instead just relied upon a mistake of law. And again, I think if we look at the case law, this is more of a mistake of fact. We cited to the two different cases in our brief, specifically State v. Anderson and State v. George. In George, in particular, a law enforcement officer stopped a motorcycle because he believed that there were three headlights that were on a motorcycle, which he believed was in violation of a state law. Ultimately, it was determined that it was a headlamp and two auxiliary lamps, and that this wasn't a violation of the state law. So that's where, if we look at these facts, there's no question of fact that there were no brake lights on the snow bear. So then, if we apply that to the officer's mistaken interpretation of the law, we have to look at the snowmobile statute, which says that there are no brake lights required. It explicitly says that 169 and 169A equipment is not required on a snowmobile.
Thank you, counsel. It looks like there are no further questions at this time. You will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. We will now turn to respondent, and you will have 15 minutes. Please state your name for the record and the party you are representing, and you may begin.
Thank you, honors and counsel. My name is Quinn Hoffman, Assistant Crow Wing County Attorney, appearing on behalf of respondent. Your honors, we're talking about reasonable articulable suspicion here, which your honors have noted a number of times. The hurdle for an officer to make a traffic stop on reasonable suspicion is very low. Your honors, this court's and the Minnesota Supreme Court is replete with cases about that low hurdle related to apparent equipment violations, traffic violations, and the like. Your honors, what I'm hearing from appellant is a standard that he's suggesting something beyond reasonable suspicion, rising to some sort of level of probable cause or beyond a reasonable doubt that an officer needs to have in order to make a traffic stop, some sort of moral certainty about a violation occurring before he can make a stop. We certainly don't need beyond a reasonable doubt or probable cause. This is just a suspicion of wrongdoing, a suspicion that something is awry, a suspicion that a violation has taken place. Your Honor, the record here from the lower court is replete with facts that the officer pointed to, objective facts related to the brake light, the apparent slowing but not stopping of the snow bear vehicle, the fact that it was operating on city streets, but clearly wasn't a motor vehicle. It was some sort of unique apparatus traveling down the road that he pointed to that justified the stop in order to investigate the full nature of what this vehicle was and how it was operating. We've talked a little bit about the uniqueness of this vehicle. And Mr. Dustinger, the appellant, indicates this is perhaps a common vehicle in Minnesota. I would have to disagree with that. The officer said this is the first time he had encountered this type of vehicle. The defendant himself indicated he had only purchased it 3 weeks prior, and this was only the second time he had operated it. I've been prosecuting traffic offenses, equipment violations, and DWIs in Crow Wing County for 5 years. This is the first time I've ever had a case involving this type of vehicle. I think the uniqueness of it cannot be understated here. When we're talking about the reasonableness of this stop, certainly the uniqueness of the vehicle cannot be held against appellant. The fact that he was operating a unique vehicle is not his fault, but it has to matter when we look at the reasonableness of the officer's actions. The fact that it is so unique that it's a fiberglass type box on skis with no brake lights, no license plate, traveling down the city streets. It's just, by all accounts, it is a unique vehicle and a unique circumstance. And through that lens, we ask, was it reasonable for the officer to stop this vehicle and investigate to either confirm his suspicion that there was a brake light issue or a stop issue, or dispel that suspicion and send the appellant on his way? And I think that there were plenty of facts in the lower court record that came out that pointed to the fact that this was a completely reasonable stop that he made to investigate the full nature of this vehicle to confirm or dispel that suspicion.
So, counsel, are you arguing that even putting aside the suspicion of a stop, that the officer had enough reasonable suspicion with respect to the brake lights to stop it to see whether or not it actually needed, it was a vehicle that required brake lights, or if it was a vehicle that did not?
I certainly think, Your Honor, when an officer at 10:40 at night on a Friday night in the city streets is seeing a vehicle traveling that apparently does not have working brake lights, that he has an objective basis to stop and investigate that for public safety reasons, for law enforcement reasons. And if he had approached and sort of fully understood the full nature of this tracked, skied vehicle, he would be able to make a determination. Well, okay, this, I guess this thing doesn't need a brake light. You can continue on your way, but for the fact that it's also illegal for a snowmobile to drive down a city street, that's maybe not directly on point here. But I think in any event, he can stop that vehicle and discover or investigate the full nature of what's operating.
So you mentioned that this doesn't seem to be very common, but I mean, four-wheelers or even three-wheelers or ATVs are very, very common, especially around, and snowmobiles for that matter, especially in the Crow Wing County area where you've got plenty of lakes and lakefront property. I'm not so sure it's necessarily that unique to see something like that there, is it?
You are. I would say it's unique in that you don't often see those types of vehicles using the public roadways in the manner that traditional type passenger vehicles use the roadways, where they're following the control signals of stoplights, stop signs, using turn signals. It is more common for those vehicles to be operated in the ditches, certainly for snowmobiles in the winter, and then to cross roadways to get to certain ATV trails or other type environments that they can operate up here, the mine pits in Crosby, certainly all over Gull Lake and the lakes surrounding the area for snowmobiles. But for them simply to become a part of the motoring public and operate on the city streets and roads and highways up here, that is not common.
I have a question, Mr. Hoffman. So in terms of evaluating whether reasonable articulable suspicion was present, we look at the totality of the circumstances. And I noted that a couple of times your opposing counsel asserted that the officer's belief that the individual here did not stop at the stop signs was based solely on the lack of brake lights. Was there anything in the record, was there testimony as to other circumstances that were present? It seems that one of your circumstances you're pointing to is that it was a non-traditional style of vehicle. Was that testified to, and what other circumstances are we looking at here?
Your Honor, I believe that the citation information is in the record, and that was that the vehicle appeared to not stop at least one of the stoplights or stop signs, and then appeared to slow but not stop at another. And in the citation, that's the information how it was presented during testimony. We can look at the court record again, but I believe he said that he was a block or a block and a half away and couldn't be sure whether it actually, to a moral certainty, stopped at the stop sign. And his belief that it did not stop was reinforced by the fact that there was no application that he saw of apparent brake lights. Your Honors, on the mistake of law versus mistake of fact piece, I agree with some of the sentiment that this is a mistake of fact. This is not a mistake of law. It is distinguishable from the George case, wherein that officer fully comprehended and understood the type of vehicle that he was pulling over, which was a motorcycle. What he was mistaken about was the legal requirements related to the equipment on that vehicle. Here, Your Honors, that, you know, I believe the record would demonstrate on the whole that the officer did not comprehend the full style of what this vehicle was. It when you think about what a snowmobile is, this is not certainly it. It may meet the definition, but as far as the eye test goes, as far as sort of a common sense first blush, when an officer sees a fiberglass box rolling down the roadway with a rear hatch, no license plate, I just don't know that the connection or the association that this was a snowmobile is so apparent. So, you know, the full nature of what this thing was, what did he encounter on the road? I believe that is a mistake of fact and an excusable one in that it does not have to invalidate this traffic stop, Your Honors. And if there are no other questions, I would cede my time to the court. Thank you.
Does it not look like there are any other questions? Thank you, counsel. We will return to appellant. Counsel, you will have 5 minutes for your rebuttal remarks. And as soon as we have the timer set, you may begin. Oh, you are on mute.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would agree that the reasonable suspicion standard is a fairly low burden, but nonetheless, it requires something more than a mere hunch. So what I would put forth to this court is that if we look at all of the evidence that was presented, the officer physically observed that there were no brake lights. I think that's not a mere hunch. He actually made that observation. The hunch is as to why he did not observe brake lights. Was it because the vehicle didn't have them? Was it because they weren't used? I think that's the mere hunch. So again, I think based on the evidence that was presented—
Is that a hunch or is that a reasonable inference?
Your Honor, I believe that it's a hunch. Again, especially given the distance, the time of day that he was away from the vehicle. I mean, I believe it was around 10:30 at night. It was dark, not well lit, and he was over a block away when he was observing this vehicle. I don't believe
right.
That.
And this was on a city street with stop signs, though, correct?
Yes, Your Honor. And there is some mention about this vehicle being on the roadway. I would, again, note to the court that if we look at Minnesota law, specifically Minnesota Statute 84.87, Subdivision 1D, the statute starts off by saying no snowmobile shall be operated upon a public street or highway unless, and then it talks about what it needs to be equipped with in order to be operated on a public street or highway. So this notion that the state is putting forth that this vehicle shouldn't have been on the roadway in the first place is directly contradicted by Minnesota law. I think if we look at the record here, the officer knew that this was a snowmobile. He testified at the hearing that he believed it was a snowmobile type vehicle. It had tracks like a snowmobile. It had skis like a snowmobile. Now, whether or not, you know, there's a lot of talk about this vehicle being common or uncommon. This state mentions the George case with a motorcycle and states that a motorcycle is much more common than a snow bear would be. But again, I think we're kind of getting into the weeds then, because if we look at a motorcycle, I think all of us would naturally think a motorcycle is a two-wheeled device that travels down our roadways. But let's see what other machines have been created that match that definition. For example, we have trikes that are becoming more and more common, motorcycles that have three wheels, specifically two wheels on the back. What about a Spider, which is a motorcycle type vehicle that has two wheels on the front and one wheel on the back? These are all devices that meet the statutory definition of a motorcycle. I don't think that it's justifiable for law enforcement to see a trike for the first time or a Spider for the first time and say, that's a unique vehicle, I'm going to stop it. And it seems that's what the state's trying to insinuate here. Again, I think that if we look at the case law, this was a mistake of law. The officer relied upon statute 169.57 for a lack of brake lights to stop Mr. Bruns. That is not the correct statute. Minnesota law is clear that equipment rules under 169 and 169A do not apply to snowmobiles. So if there's no other questions, that's all I have for the court. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. I don't see any other questions. Thank you both for your arguments and your briefing on the matter. Well, we appreciate it. We will be issuing an opinion within the 90-day statutory timeframe. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, honors.